the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder, and MJ, we're just about midway between two big events, our Share-a-thon last week and our dinner coming up very shortly.
We are very busy here at Catholic Radio. I think that our Share-a-thon this year, I say this every year, I think, but I really do think this was the best one ever. The energy levels, the volunteers that we had, the generosity of our listeners, it goes down for me as the best one ever.
And absolutely, we could not do Catholic Radio without participation in events like that. We don't preach it all the time on the air, but really Catholic Radio is a not-for-profit organization. It is listener-supported, and it's things like Share-a-thons and our dinner that and other events we have throughout the year that allow us to stay on the air. It's really that simple.
And, you know, I hope that Jim and I tried something a little bit differently this Lent. Our Faith in Action shows, there's two every day, and one of them is a little bit different. Instead of having a different guest every week, we are kind of going through a guided meditation to help deepen our Lenten experience. And I hope you're enjoying it as much as Jim and I are.
Absolutely.
Well, let's jump right in because we have a lot to talk about today. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Nathan Cecil. He's the Executive Director for the Center for Global Impact. And we have Whitney Vance. She is the Director of Operations for the Center for Global Impact. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
You know, when we were first made aware of your organization, I commented to Jim that I was surprised that human trafficking was even an issue in 2015. And I had no sooner said that than in the Criterion, I think, or the Catholic Moment, there's this big article about February 8th, I think, being set aside by Pope Francis as a day of awareness for the problem of human trafficking.
Pope Francis has had a real impact of getting people to look at issues that have been there all along, just people haven't thought about for a long time.
Yeah, and this saddens me, though. This vexes me. On one hand, I'm perplexed and deeply saddens me. But let's tell us a little bit.
And you think of third world countries, you don't think of the U.S.
That's exactly right, Jim. I mean, you think, when we think about this, you know, I think about the 60s, 70s, you know, kids, runaways, basically, they're being snitched and shipped off, you know, shipped overseas. But we don't think about the issue inside our own borders. So let's start with you, Nathan. Tell us a little bit about your family and what side of town you live on.
I live on the south side of Indianapolis. I have two children that are both having birthdays, had birthdays in February. They turned 8 and 10.
So, oh, my goodness.
Anna and Jack, I love them.
Oh,
and
great
my
names.
Wife and I have been married almost 20 years, so yeah.
Oh, God bless you. So your hands are full?
Hands are full.
Hands are full. Hands and hearts. Whitney, tell us a little bit about you. What side of town do you live on?
I'm on the northeast side, kind of in the Lawrence area.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Noblesville, so still kind of close to home.
Yeah, good for you. I'm sure your parents are tickled.
They are.
Okay, so Center for Global Impact, that will be an unfamiliar name for a lot of our listeners. Mm-hmm. What exactly is it, Nathan? I mean, I know I did a little bit of research, but our listeners won't know about it. So what is it, and why do we have the need for it?
In a simple level, it's a development organization. We're based in Greenwood, Indiana. We do development work primarily in the country of Cambodia. We have three things we focus on. We focus on empowering the poor, protecting the vulnerable, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we do that through projects and programs and business development initiatives that we can talk a little bit about in Cambodia. And we do see the issue of trafficking quite regularly in the areas that we work.
Okay. You know, I read a little bit on your website. It surprised me that in Indiana this is an issue as well as in the United States. Something that kind of that intrigued me, Whitney, I would like you to kind of talk to this, is we are a few weeks out from Super Bowl. It's a huge event. I know that locally, when we Indianapolis hosted the Super Bowl a couple years ago, there was a lot of chatter about arrests, you know, and the cops were more vigilant.
Yes.
And that women, it was especially warm. Of course, in January, it usually is here in Indianapolis. Not. We had an unusual Super Bowl. But I remember the issue of prostitution, women on the streets, that there had to be a lot more vigilant because of that. And I didn't think much about it. I thought, yeah, well. But I noticed that this still, out in Phoenix, Super Bowl, is that, how does the human trafficking element, I mean, tell us a little bit more about that interaction.
Yes, of course. So trafficking tends to follow large sporting events, and we see that especially because there are people that are coming in, thousands of people, into larger cities to have fun, to party, to stay at the hotels. And so traffickers see that as a prime time to bring people in for prostitution. And so in some circumstances, the women are brought into hotels and kept there during the entire sporting event. And then people will just come in and out, taking advantage of that situation. So it's very common, whether it's a Super Bowl or
World Cup.
The World Cup. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
sure.
Now, would the Indy 500 figure into something like that too?
Yes, I would believe so. Yeah, anything where thousands of people are coming into a city and they're just there to have a good time, that's just a prime time for traffickers to take advantage.
Okay, so explain to our listeners who won't understand. I mean, when you're talking about trafficking, traffickers, in my mind, when you're saying that, I'm thinking of, okay, a guy who's got a posse of 6 women, 10 women, something like that, and going from city to city. But help me understand how this even happens. Do these women, how does he keep these women? How do they get the women? What ages are we talking about?
Yeah, it can come in so many different forms. In a lot of situations, traffickers will prey on maybe people who are on the streets, runaways, that have no place to go. In that same realm, they'll also prey on impoverished families, women who don't have a way to make money. They'll bring them in and move them from city to city, like you said. Another way is actually through what they call lover boys. So a man will pretend like he's interested in dating a young woman who then will be brought into his harem that he'll then traffic through different cities.
Now, are there a lot of drugs involved in this, or is this simply, I mean, is that a way of controlling women also?
Very
is
much
through
so.
Drugs?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they'll get the young women addicted to drugs so that they can't leave and can't go to the cops. And also, we see a lot in the government that the women, the prostitutes, are actually being punished as opposed to the perpetrators. And so that can be a huge issue as well when going to the cops for help, because then they will be punished instead of the actual people who got them into that situation.
Yeah, okay, so even before we talk about Cambodia here, because I understand your initiatives over there are wonderful, but, you know, just thinking about this academically or in between my ears here, do you attack it from rescuing the women, or do you attack it from arresting the handlers, if you will? I mean, how do we attack this problem? It is an issue. It's a problem. But even beyond that, as I was reading down through your website, your Facebook page, quotes from young girls who saying, "I am helping my family by..." And that's horrible. That is so incredibly sad that there are some women that think there's good money in this and I can help my family buy. What's the answer? Help us with this, Nathan.
Part of the issue is obviously evil at its core, and it's perpetrated lots of times by men who have developed almost, you could call it like an organized crime situation, where they have developed systems and put them in place to protect themselves. And what they typically do is make sure it's the women that are caught in it are the ones that get hauled off, prosecuted, and they move on. And they usually, so the issue is to attack at the core, at the demand, as well as those who are organizing this crime.
So they kind of insulate themselves,
if you will. They insulate
themselves,
oftentimes.
I was going to ask you about that. All of this wouldn't happen if there weren't just an insatiable demand for that. And that just seems odd to me too. I mean, most people think of prostitution as something, you know, very seedy that only certain type of folks would be involved in, and yet these are probably fairly upscale, well-to-do people if they're going to hotels and things like that.
Yeah, very much so. Even in the context of Cambodia, lots of times it's government officials. I mean, there's corruption throughout every system of government, especially in third world countries. But yeah, oftentimes it's the people you wouldn't think would be getting involved in this that are getting involved. And it's as easy to find as going on, you know, social media and seeking it out. If you're looking for it, you'll find it.
Yeah, and that's a shame. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Nathan Cecil, Executive Director for the Center for Global Impact, and Whitney Vance, Director of Operations. And we're talking about human trafficking. We need to take a break and we'll be right back. I have so many more questions.
An interview with Brother Trenton Rout and how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just got to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. At the same time, I was learning about the faith, having that accessible, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guests today, Nathan Cecil and Whitney Vance, the Executive Director and the Director of Operations for the Center for Global Impact. So you guys are making an impact. You are making a difference. In the first half, we were talking about what is human trafficking and where is it. But you guys have done something kind of interesting. I mean, tell us about your Cambodia initiative.
Sure. It started off pretty small, working with some local pastors and some churches in Cambodia and understanding that there is a reality of extreme poverty in Cambodia. Also coupled with that, we realized that trafficking was a major issue because many times these families are so poor and so desperate that parents will literally traffic their own children to put rice on the table or to pay a debt maybe they've incurred because of a health issue, and they have these hospital bills they can't pay. And so traffickers will know about these situations and intentionally prey upon those families and offer to take their daughter, say the average age is typically around 12 years old, and they'll take offer to take their daughter and put them to work. Many times they don't fully explain what that work looks like. Sometimes it is in a factory of some kind, but most of the time it is to a trafficking situation, a hotel room. Mothers will even take their daughters to a doctor to get a certificate of virginity, that they can take that certificate and get a premium then and earn almost a year's wages by trafficking
them. You know, I'm shaking my head. I haven't stopped shaking my head since you've been talking, and I'm thinking that you said you had two kids. And I can't imagine your response if you were approached and said, we'll wipe out your credit card debt. We'll wipe off half your mortgage if you give us one of your kids or both of your kids.
Yeah.
What is the mindset? To help me understand that. You're a parent. You've got kids just that age. What would it take to convince you to give your kids up?
It's almost impossible for us here in this country that many of us have been very blessed to be even born here, to try to put ourselves in the mindset of a family that lives in a one-room shack that is facing health issues constantly because there's no clean water, no clean sewer system. Children are running around barefoot. Many don't make it to the age 5 because just health issues. And to put ourselves in that mindset of a family that is so desperate that would sell their daughter into that situation. I have tried to put myself in that situation and understand what kind of mindset that would take.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to do, but I've met parents who have done just that.
You know, I really would like to talk about a positive. This is to me so hard to wrap my head around. But there is positive good coming out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I did kind of read something that I would like you to talk about, Whitney, a little bit. There was kind of a tagline on the Facebook page that said, "Is our shopping hurting someone somewhere?" Tell us a little bit about what you meant when you put that on the page and what initiative you have to kind of help in that regard.
Yes, of course. So in all of our stores here in the United States, if you look at our clothing, where does it say it's made? Right? So you want to look at that. Is it made in China, Thailand, Cambodia? Whatever it is, all of those items will have been made in a sweatshop. And so those people are making pennies a day. The international poverty level is actually $1.25 a day, and that is generous.
$1.25 a day.
$1.25 a day. And in garment factories in Cambodia where we work, sometimes it's even less than that. And we're talking $1.25 a day at over 8 hours a day, no ventilation, same tedious work the entire day, no breaks, hardly any food. If you just go and research the garment factories worldwide, you'll find collapses everywhere where people have actually died. And even fences that people, that the factory owners actually put around the windows of the factory so people can't jump out.
Okay, so
what
are you doing?
Which is known to happen.
Well, give us some ideas here.
So this is why Center for Global Impact has all the initiatives that we do to really fight against that. And our one of our largest programs that we have is called Buy to V. And our goal is to train women in the art of sewing so that they can be producing products at a living wage. Our goal is that they make anywhere from $150 to $200 a month instead of $1.25 a day. And all those items are handmade by them and then sold here in the United States, and 100% goes back into the Buy to V program to make it happen and to pay those women.
Now, kind of what brought this issue to our attention were two things, the proclamation by the Pope, and the other was an event that happened here at Saints Francis and Clare Parish just a while back. Tell us a little bit about that event and how you guys figured into that.
Yeah, so we were blessed to have a couple representatives from St. Francis and Clare that really wanted to promote Center for Global Impact and the work we're doing in Cambodia. And so they put on a fashion show, which is something that we're now doing around the country with churches and groups who are interested. And so we'll dress your women up in the gorgeous items that the women in Cambodia make so they can represent the work that's going on there. And then they have an opportunity to purchase the items. And
You know, I missed that aspect of it. I did know about the event at St. Francis and Clare. I did know there was a fashion show, and I did know the benefits were going to go to the cause, but I missed the important connection there of where the fashions came from and where the money went to.
Which is why we have you today, because we do need to talk about this. You kind of reminded me of something several years ago. My mother asked me to take her to, at that time, Lazarus, kind of Macy's today. She wanted to buy a robe for my father. Okay? Easy task. Mm-hmm. I had no idea before we went into Lazarus, Macy's, what this was going to entail. So went to the men's department. I picked out a beautiful robe in her budget and was started heading towards the register. And she said, whoa, where was it made? This is my mother.
Interesting.
This is 90 years old.
Wow.
And where was it made? Okay, fine. So we looked through. It was made in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And she said, put it back. Do you know something? We looked at 4 or 5 roundies of robes. Not one was made in the United States. Mm-hmm. She asked for the manager. I'm getting chills. They did not have at that time any article of clothing in the store.
Mm. Oh my goodness.
That was made in the United States.
Wow.
She spun around, and if you can imagine, a little 90-year-old lady, she spun around on her heels and said, "We will be going," and we walked out.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is a much bigger problem than you think. Nowadays, I think we've gotten people to begin to talk about this a little bit, but I like that you said, look at the tag. We've gotten organic with our food.
I mean,
we started to look at our food. We need to look at our clothes.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about where we can buy things that are, you know, made in Cambodia by a good wage. So specifically tell us where and what the tag looks like.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, one place is Buy to V and Center for Global Impact. All of our items are handmade in Cambodia and the women are paid fair wages. You can also look at Imagine Goods, imaginegoods.com. They work closely with artisans all over the world that create items similar to the Buy to V clothing.
Tell me what that is.
Just
kind of spell that out because I...
Yes, thank you for asking. Buy to V is spelled B-Y-T-A-V-I. Tavi is actually the name of one of the first women that we had in our program. Okay. So we named the program after her. And By Tavi is just our branding name.
Okay, I wondered. I saw that all over the place, and I thought, what the heck is that? Okay, so BYTAVI.
Yes.
Okay, do you have like a bytobe.com?
Yes, we do. Okay. You can go there and you can actually look at the stories of some of the women in the program as well, learn more about them, and then you can shop the beautiful products that they make.
We also have a boutique on the south side.
Here in Indianapolis.
Yep, 135, just over, just a little west of the Greenwood Mall.
Okay. All right. And I know we run out of time so quickly, but culinary training, tell us a little bit about that. What's that all about?
Teaching girls to cook.
Where?
In Cambodia. And okay. We actually have two restaurants that they train in as well. It was a partnership with a culinary instructor from Ivy Tech's culinary school. Chef Paul Vida helped us establish the vision for that. And we have a missionary chef over there, and she's from Knoxville, Tennessee, teaching these girls how to cook. These are at-risk girls who are at high risk of being trafficked, living in absolute poverty, mm-hmm. and it's giving them hope.
Okay, so Nathan,
does that give them a marketable job skill then that they can?
They are very highly trained.
They're not just cooking for their family.
Not just cooking for their family. They're learning to work and serve and cook food in restaurants.
Okay, so Nathan Cecil, Executive Director, Whitney Vance, Director of Operations for Center for Global Impact. Nathan, how did Cambodia, how did that connect with Greenwood, Indiana, for pity's sake?
You know, it was a connection through our founder, Chris Alexander. He was a missionary at heart, and he had some connections in Cambodia. And so when we founded the organization about 6.5 years ago, that was one of the first places he went to. And through the connections that he had, God just seemed to open doors. And before you know it, we have two restaurants, a culinary school, a workshop full of 40 women making incredible products. And the story just continues.
Do you look for expansion to places other than Cambodia?
We've talked to several other ministries. We want to partner with ministries. We found that that's the most efficient and effective way to go into a situation that's already established and come alongside.
And I understand you have a big gala, a big fundraiser in the fall.
Yeah, so tell every us a September little bit about that. We have a fundraising gala. It's called the CGI Impact Gala. And it's going to be the second Saturday of this September, and it's a great event. Last year we had it at the Lucas Family Estate in Carmel.
Oh, sure.
About 350 people were there. Silent auction, presentation, live auction. It's a fun night. So I'll have to get you guys an invite.
I would love to have an invite to that.
Now, if somebody listening were wanting to do something like they did at St. Francis and Clare Parish, is that something that any kind of a group or parish or club could put on?
Absolutely. That's one of the roles that Whitney has. She can probably speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, that would be great. Our desire is to connect with as many people as possible to share the story of the women in Cambodia and raise funds for them. And so you can contact us through our website, centerforglobalimpact.org, and we will follow up with you as quickly as possible and get something on the books.
Center for Impact.
Center for Global Impact.
Global Impact. There it was. I knew it.
And Facebook, I guess they could like you on Facebook,
like
too.
Like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook, yep. Yeah, because you've got lots of little tidbits on there. We just have, just a moment left. And literally when I say a moment, like 30 seconds left. Nathan, Cecil, Whitney Vance, what did we not cover we should have?
You know, one thing that comes to mind real quickly, when you think about human trafficking, there are four major areas. There's prevention. There are things that are happening both here in America, then the things that we do in Cambodia are initiatives to try to prevent trafficking from ever happening. There's also the rescue portion, where people actually go in and rescue girls who are being trafficked. There's the rehabilitation. That's the third piece, where girls who've been rescued need help. They need healing emotionally, physically many times. And then there's reintegration, which is what teaching a girl to cook, teaching a girl to sew, programs that help girls reintegrate back into the real world, if you will, and not fall back into prostitution or trafficking. And so that just gives you a quick context of this trafficking issue, simplifies the ideas a little bit, but it's a very complicated, complex issue.
Thank you so much for raising awareness here in Indiana and around the area for this terrible, terrible problem that I think most of our listeners will think, why are we dealing that within our own borders? So thank you so much for being our guest today. God bless you, and may the Lord's peace be with you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties. and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.